Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 to 9. I want to particularly draw your attention to verse 7 and also verse 9, where you have two things that describes about God. Let's read these few verses together. All the verses. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. All the way up to verse 9. Okay, if we are there, let's begin. Be careful of nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the peace of God shall be with you. Amen. Please be seated. The God of peace, sorry. I said the peace of God. I've been reading this God of peace, peace of God, peace with God until trying to get the order right. Okay. Anyway, this evening I'd like to just share with you from the Bible what is biblical peace. Peace, the word peace, is something that been said so many times, but different people have different idea, and they, most people don't understand peace as a positive concept. Usually we understand peace in a very negative aspect, which means it's a merely an absence of trouble. You know, when we think of peace, we think of, for example, nation with nation, Israel and Palestine. There's a lot of this matter of war, and after that peace, then they have ceasefire, then they want to have peace talk and angry war, and then subsequently, something happened, ceasefire, stop, and then no peace again. We can think of peace not only just in the national level, but peace when we think about that time, you know, in the middle of the night when you sleep so soundly, and then out of blue, suddenly somebody below. Have you got this quarreling or talking loudly, or some young people just out there having some good fun, but they just are so inconsiderate, you know, make so much noise and wake the whole neighborhood and all those. So you say, oh, our peace has been broken, you know. We can think of peace also in a matter of someone break your peace, you know. You try to bear with the person in terms of relationship, you know, and say, okay, you just broke my peace, you know. And we think of peace also in this matter of our mind, our heart, are not at peace when we are troubled. There's no peace. Sometimes because of our sin, sometimes because things that bother us, that because of our guilt, we have no peace. So these are general concepts and people understand about peace. And if you look at it, the peace has to always to do with something external. It has to do with something of a circumstances and your peace is dependent upon that. If with that, there seems to be no peace. But the biblical concept of peace does not focus on the absence of trouble. In fact, biblical peace is not related to any circumstances. Later on, when we look into the meaning of peace, we'll find that the Bible meaning of peace is a goodness of life and that is not touched by what happened on the outside. We want to look at the example of Paul in Philippians. When Paul wrote the epistle of the Philippians, Paul was in jail, right? And we know about this account, how Paul and Silas, at midnight, they sing and they praise God. And then how at the end, the Philippian jailer and even the household got saved. Then we have in James chapter 1, verse 2, James tells us, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptation. And even in John chapter 14, verse 27, the Lord Jesus Christ said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither be it. Let it be afraid." So, through this simple example of the Bible, Paul, James, and we see the concept of biblical peace and the world concept of peace is totally different. I would like to just, for us to just take a look at the meaning of the word peace. We find the English word peace usually has a very passive kind of picture. That means something don't affect me, I will have that peace. You know, it is showing an absence of something that does not disturb us or become hostile to us. Or it can be someone who has a personality whereby they are free from internal and external kind of strife, you know. Some people are very good at it. People can try to affect them from the outside, but they are able to have that kind of control. But when we talk about, look at this matter of the biblical concept of peace, it is more than all this. And tonight we're going to look into this Hebrew word, shalom. It comes from the root word, SLM. And it has a meaning to mean complete, to be complete, to be sound. All right? It has a meaning of to be complete or whole or live well. And generally, you can see this in a few kind of categories. Like, for example, the word shalom as in reference to health, it refers to wholeness of life or body, or in a right relationship or harmony between two parties or people, and often established by a covenant. We can see this even in the Old Testament, where we have the peace offering. When related to Yahweh, the Lord, the covenant was renewed or maintained with a peace offering. The word shalom also involves like prosperity, success, and fulfillment. And then it has also this idea of victory over one's enemy or absence of war. Okay, have you ever come across this, the Muslim, when they go to the house, then they wish, they will call, no? Before they enter, it actually means peace also. Yeah, it's their Malay version of shalom, you know. And why is it that they always wish the person that they are seeing shalom? Because they also have this concept from the Bible. It's actually about wishing someone a goodness of life, someone that continue to be in a state where they have peace, you know. And that is the idea that is given in this word shalom. I encourage you to go and do some study, because in the New Testament, this concept of peace from the Old Testament is embraced in the New Testament. For example, like in the New Testament, the Greek word eirene, all right, is the word most often used, translated the word peace. And even there are some overlap in their meaning. The Hebrew word shalom, used in the Hebrew word peace in the New Testament, has a broader usage, all right, and also has greatly influenced the New Testament use of the word eirene. So the meaning of peace itself will tell you that it is not the kind of peace that the world has. Alright? It is much broader. And you find that a lot of it is not talking about something that is of the circumstances. It's talking about a wholeness, a kind of wellness, you know, in the spiritual sense, that you always maintain. Okay? In the different aspect of the opposite way, in relation to the circumstances. You have your note there, right? And in your note, you should have this. The next headline is the nature of peace. It's very important, as we see from Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 to 9. In verse 7, it says, "And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your heart and mind through Christ Jesus." And then in verse 9, it says that those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. All right, when we think about peace, we consider there is two kinds in a sense. One is has to do with our relationship with God, our relationship to God. And that is the God of peace. Who is He? He is the God of peace. And this is the relationship that we have with Him. The other one has to do with our experience with God. And that is in verse 6, the peace of God. Sorry, verse 7. All right. Now, when we look at this matter of the three things I was trying to digest. Number one is the God of peace. When we think about who God is, He's the God of peace. All right. And when we think of the God of peace, of course, He is also holy, He is love, and many other things. It simply means that God wants to have peace with His creation. But when we think of this matter of peace with God, the Bible tells us that when we, as before we were saved, as a natural man, we do not have that kind of peace with God. We come into this world as sinful men, because the Bible in Romans 5, 10 tells us, "For if when we were yet enemies..." See, we were yet enemy. What happened? "We were reconciled to God by the death of His Son. Much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life." It tells us our condition with regards to peace. All right? We do not know this God of peace. We have no peace with Him. We're at war with Him. We're in rebellion with Him. We are always going against the principle of God. But when we receive Jesus Christ, through the work of our Lord Jesus Christ, we cease to become enemies of God. All right, we are saved, and then we have the peace with God. Okay, Ephesians 6:15 tells us, "And your feet shod with the preparation of the what? Gospel of peace." Then Romans 5:1 tells us, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." Now, this is important because we need to understand the nature of this peace. Because of what the Lord has done, and when we trust, our sin is forgiven, our rebellion ceases, we have peace with God, and that is the whole idea of the salvation that we have. Colossians 1:20-22 says that, "And having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself, by Him, I say, whether there be things in earth or things in heaven, and you, that were something alienated, an enemy in your mind, by wicked word, yet now had He reconciled in the body of His flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in His sight." Even 2 Corinthians 5:18-19 tell us that how we are being reconciled, you know. Bible tells us, "And all things are of God, who had reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ, and have given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and had committed unto us the word of reconciliation." So you find that we have the God of peace on one side, men rebel, men, enemies of God because of our sin and everything. But Christ came in between, and through the work on the cross, reconciled us. And because of that, we come to know this God of peace and have peace with God, and then God, through the Lord Jesus Christ and the work of the Holy Spirit, give us the peace of God. That's why in Philippians chapter 4, verse 9, it says, "And the God of peace shall be with you." But how is this God of peace with us? The gift that He gave us, His peace. and which is described in verse 7, tell us that the peace of God which passes all understanding shall keep your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. This evening, actually, I want for us to just consider this. Actually, God has provided, you know, everything for us that we need in order to enjoy the gift, the blessing that comes with salvation on the cross. And sadly, many times, when we do not understand the gift of peace that God gives to us, we, a lot of time, suffer unnecessarily. You know, there's this song, I think it was what? About prayer. What's it? The song that says, how often we forfeit. What's it? What a friend we have in Jesus, you know? And then, because we do not go to God in prayer. Yeah. And many, many things that God bless us with. The grace, the love of God, the peace, you know, and all that He has through the Lord Jesus Christ, make it available to us. But yet, many times, we did not go and enjoy it as what God has meant it to be. Even in this matter of the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep our heart and guard our, as it says here in verse 7, shall keep your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. It's so important because we live in a time that we need the peace of God. More and more it's going to be a terrible, terrible time for us to go through this life in this world. And if we can really understand this peace of God and appropriate it, I believe it will bless our soul and help us to be able to be blessed of the Lord. Okay? Alright, so now we find that there is this matter of we have peace with God. And there are many verses. Like, for example, Paul tells us that the heart of the gospel message in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18 to 19, which I just read, is to reconcile us so that we will have that peace with God. And then, just now we read also, in John chapter 14, verse 27, our Lord Jesus speaks of the peace here is a kind of peace that relating to our experience with God. It is that peace of God that He has given to us, and that how we experience the life with God with through this peace, how we go through life with this peace. This peace, let me just read it here, is a tranquility of the soul, a settled positive peace that affects the circumstances of life. It is a peace that is aggressive rather than being victimized by event. It attacks them and gobbles them up. It is a supernatural, permanent, positive, no side effect, divine tranquilizer. Alright? Let's take a look at Romans 8:32. Is it in your note there? Romans 8:32. Don't have. Okay, let's turn to Romans 8:32. Because the Bible tells us, He who gave His own Son, spare not His own Son, will freely give us all things. How much more God would want to bless us with this? In fact, of course, it is more than just the peace of God. Romans 8:32, the Bible tells us, He that spare not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Himself also freely give us all things, okay? So we know that it is God's will that He wants to help not only we be reconciled with Him, but also that there is the peace of God that will be given to us, and then it's something for us to enjoy. And this is precisely the peace that Paul talks about in Philippians 4, verse 7, all right? And here it tells us that this peace surpasses comprehension. You outside people, they will never understand how such a person, a Christian, a believer. I was thinking, if you read the history of the Martha for Fox's Martha, or even the apostle and everything, how when they face death, when they face a lot of this persecution and things, they are so calm. You look in the book of Acts where we see Stephen, when he was being stoned, he was in such a peaceful mind, you know, and he just commit everything to the Lord. Not only that, he asked God to forgive these people who stoned him and all those. And you know how these many people who are subjected by all this tribulation, even unto death, they have that kind of peace. They have that kind of, you know, it doesn't disturb them. But at the same time, their peace even become an active thing that will, affect those people around them. And I believe these people has the peace of God in a real way that they are able to live their life. In fact, in Philippians 4:7, the word God is very interesting because it does not mean just to watch or to keep in prison. It is a word that is used in a military sense. It means to stand in the post and guard against the aggression of an enemy. So when we have the peace of God, we are like, our heart is being, in a very military sense, you know, like there is this guard post, or rather you have people who are guarding the territory, like the North Korea, and South, the demilitarized zone. They will look out, they will guard carefully and watch out for the enemy, and any aggression that comes, they will quickly act on it. So when we think of this matter of the peace of God, which keep our heart and guard our heart against external thing, it has this idea that we are, Christ is like a fortress and we just guard our soul that nothing will come. At the same time, there is a proactive kind of thing. You know, it is not waiting for things to come and affect us, but rather we also actively, through our peace, affect others. Okay, I hope you get this idea, because when I look into this, sometimes I pray and say, Lord, how many times, you know, when we think about the peace of God, which is given to us, but yet many times, this matter of our heart is so easily get affected. You know, and the peace of God is in a way not fully experienced. There are this thing that I came across, and I think it's very interesting when we talk about this kind of peace. It is a peace, according to this note that I have, and I just want to share with you, that deal with the past. All right? One that where no string of conscience can dip in the poison of the past sin, tear at them and torture them by the hours. All right? There's a peace that governs the present with no unsatisfied desire gnawing in their heart. And then there's a peace that holds the promise for the future, where no foreboding fear of the unknown and dark tomorrow threaten them. So it tells us that this peace, that the guilt of the past is forgiven, the trials of the present are overcome, and our destiny in the future is secured eternally. So this is the nature of God's peace. When we think about God's peace, it is something that is active, something that you, when you have the peace of God, instead of the external circumstances kind affect you, your peace will affect the external circumstances. You know, it will move people and things. And then the peace is so, when we see the Lord Jesus Christ, we will understand why he says in John chapter 14, verse 27, this peace that I give you is unlike the peace of the world. It is his peace. And we see how the Lord Jesus Christ went through the whole trials to be crucified. Later on, you'll find that in John chapter 19, how when he stood before Pilate, and he was so calm, so serene, and so controlled, so at peace, that when Pilate saw him, he was very disturbed. He was furious, and that Jesus was standing before him, fearless. And then he said in John chapter 19, verse 10, Then saith Pilate unto him, Speakest thou not unto me? Knowest thou not that I have power to crucify thee and have power to release thee? Then Jesus answered and said, Thou couldest have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. Therefore, he that delivered me unto thee had the greater sin. Imagine our Lord Jesus Christ facing Pilate. And Pilate said, you know, I have power to crucify you and to do whatever. But our Lord Jesus was so at peace, so calm. And he just, you know, in fact, he tell Pilate that it is not you who has power over me. Rather, I have power over you, you know. Think about it. How many times in our personal life as believer, when we stood before something that trials or problems, or you can think of, just now we went through a relationship with people, with your mind, with your health, with your soul, with your heart, or you have external circumstances, how it so easily come and affected our soul and draw us to focus on the circumstances and on the problem and whatever. And that this peace of God is not allowing God the Holy Spirit to do its work, so that we can be like the Apostle Paul. You know, in fact, when we read later on in the book of Romans, how Paul say what he go through, all those things, and nothing moved him and everything, I believe Paul has the peace of God, like what is being described in Philippians chapter 4, 7. So we see at the nature of peace, we see now the source of peace. When we think of the peace of God, it has its foundation in peace with God. And earlier I mentioned that the only way we can have peace with God is to come before the God of peace and through the work of the Lord Jesus Christ be reconciled with him. The Bible tells us in John chapter 14 verse 27, it says that my peace I leave with you, I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you, let not your heart be troubled, neither be afraid. Okay, this peace, only God can bring this peace. Okay, there are a few verses I just maybe read to you, and then we see some of these examples. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23 says, The very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Hebrews 13, verse 20, Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. So we find that it is from our Lord Jesus Christ. Then early on, we read about this matter of John chapter 19, verses 10 to 11, how Pilate, you know, when our Lord Jesus stand before Pilate. Acts 10, 36 also tell us, the word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. Okay? And then 2 Thessalonians 3:16, Now the Lord of peace himself give you peace always by all means. The Lord be with you all. Okay. So we find that the source of the peace is actually our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay. And how is this peace being given to us? In Acts 10:36, and just now we read 2 Thessalonians 3:16, tell us that Jesus is the one that gave us this peace. But of course, we know the Holy Spirit on behalf of our Lord Jesus. I just want to highlight, or rather read this, Galatians 5:22. It says that, And the gift, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, and faith. And John 16:14 says what about the Holy Spirit? He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. That's why early on this evening, I purposely want to sing the song about the Holy Spirit, because he is a very important influence in our spiritual life. He's the one that, on behalf of Christ, all right, will give us the peace that Christ wants to give us. So the giver of peace is the Holy Spirit. Okay, every promise Jesus made to his troubled disciple on the night before his death, they will always be rooted in the coming of the Holy Spirit. Christ promised life, union, and understanding and peace to those who are his disciples. But it is the Spirit of God who will take this thing of Christ and give to us. Okay? Now, after understanding the meaning, the nature, and the source of peace, now we contrast it. All right? You look at John 14:27. Jesus said, his peace I give unto you is not the same as the world. All right? The peace that he gave is something that will fulfill what God has intended to be. I was thinking how to give you this illustration. You know, we read 1 Corinthians 13 about the chapter of love. The world way of love, it's very shallow, and we talk about love equal lust or eros and whatever. But when we look at 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the chapter on love, where it describes to you the characteristics of love. And when we encapsulate this, we will be able to at least have a glimpse, you know, of what God's love is. You know, humanly, we can now understand what true love, how to love the way God wants us to love. It's unconditional, it's sacrificial, and all those. And how, further down, how it describes what love will do and will not do and things like that. And many a time, people who understood, and when the Holy Spirit worked, when the Holy Spirit opened our understanding about this matter of God's love, and when we allow the Holy Spirit to energize us and do and love the way God loves, Christ loves, our love go into a new dimension. It's totally different. We find that we can forgive, we can love sacrificially, love unconditionally, we can even suffer and die even for someone who are not lovely and things like that. Why? Because we finally are able to comprehend, and the Holy Spirit give us the ability to love in a very supernatural way. In the same way, for peace of God to be able to have that in our life, it is the Holy Spirit that must help us to comprehend the way God's peace is. And then when we go through, we are able to express the peace of God in our spiritual life. That we can have that kind of testimony, like our Lord Jesus, like Paul, like Stephen, like many of those who died for their faith and who stood for their faith. All right. So when we contrast, you look at the history of the world. For centuries, men are the statistic. One peace and there's no peace, then there's more war. And then here there are some statistics that it says. Since 36 BC, there have been 15,000 wars. Before World War II, the world had an average of 2.61 new war every year. But since World War II, despite of all mankind enlightenment and organized effort for world peace, there have been an average of 3 new wars every year. So, the New York Times observed that peace is a favor. Peace is something that is unattainable, you know. And so the only world peace that the world knows is a very shallow and unfulfilled kind of thing. And most people pursue of peace is only an attempt to get away from problem. That's why there are people who will try to get peace, you know, through what? Through drugs, alcohol, and other form of escapism. So we are very clear that apart from God, there will be no real peace in this world, now, future, even in time of the Great Tribulation and everything. Only until when Christ comes, All right. So it is something that we thank God that we don't have to be like the world that have that kind of idea about peace and then try to pursue this elusive thing, you know, called peace. And yet at the end, we find that we never really have peace. But as believers, God already gave us the peace of God. Okay? So there is a contrast, God's peace and the world's peace, all right? And then because of this peace, Philippians tell us what? In chapter 4, verse 6, there is a lot of in Philippians 4, 6 to 9, it said, be careful of nothing but in everything, by what? Prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and mind through Christ Jesus. And that is the result. All right? That our response to the promise of peace is that we just accept it and then allow God the Holy Spirit to help us to understand and know what the peace of God is and live with the peace of God. It's something I believe is only the Holy Spirit that can really teach us and then help us to experience it in whatever the circumstances. I hope this sharing with you will sort of give you the encouragement that we don't have to go through our Christian life always being troubled, or always having to be defeated and don't know joy and no peace and all those. Because God promised us peace that will pass all understanding. And God wants us, it is God's will for us to have His peace. You know, our Lord Jesus Christ personally promised to give us His peace. And when we have His peace, we will be able to experience what Philippians 4:7 tells us. All right? And Philippians 4:4 tells us, rejoice. Let's go to read some of the Bible passages. And it says, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. And then Isaiah 26:3 says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusted in thee. And then Psalms 46, verse 10 says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in earth. And then Colossians, you find that the Bible tells us, let 3:15, let the peace of God rule in your heart, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. You know, of course, in Acts 7:60, we have the example of Stephen when he was stoned. He knelt down and he cried with a loud voice and said, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Sorry, just now that part about Paul is in 2 Corinthians 11, verse 24 to 29, where Paul described what he went through and all those. And then at the end, how he come out of it, still praising God, thanking God. And he said, I rather glory in all these things, my suffering, my persecution, all the shipwreck, all the, you know, near-death experience, all those things. And how did Paul able to go through all this, not affecting him, but yet he can infect the people around him? You know, sing praises to God, write letter to encourage all of us to rejoice and everything. I'm sure this is the kind of peace that we would want to have, right? Which we already have. Because the Bible tells us the gift, the fruit of the Holy Spirit is love, joy, peace. And God promised in Philippians 4, verse 9 say, you know, 7 to 9, the peace of God which passes, I've read so many times. And then those things which ye have what? Both learned and received and heard and seen in me what? Do. And the peace of God shall be with you. And of course, when we have, the God of peace is with us, we will have the peace of God. Alright, I hope that this evening the sharing will encourage all of us to meditate, to think, to ask and pray God, you know, because I also asked God as I was preparing this, I was quite some time back, even as I went through, you know, with my wife, her health and all those, and I was just asking the Lord, whatever that, you know, you have taught me here, Lord, I want that kind of peace. Help me to how to have that kind of peace and allow that peace of God to really become something that will become a mark of how I go through this Christian life. You know, it's something that I encourage all of us to pray and ask God so that as we go through this world and whatever that is to come, that we will be able to say the peace of God which passes all understanding shall keep our heart and our mind through our Lord Jesus Christ. And then our life will manifest that peace of God. Okay?